Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 451 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show, we've been hearing from Mike Coop all about Wombourn and District Choral Society and their forthcoming event in March. We'll be having a natto with the Kitchen Collective. Gary Tranter, guitarist, joining us on the phone, and we'll be hearing some of their music. Also, and this is the biggie this week, because Mamma Mia is on at the Grand until the 24th of February. So you can find out what happened when I went along and had a chat with their head of wardrobe in a short while's time. But first of all, I have two of the stars of the show, Phil and Lucy. Hello.
Hi.
Now, I've not seen the show yet, so you've got to walk me through this one gently. Don't give too much away, but we're in Greece at the moment.
We are, yeah. It's a sunny summer's day in Greece, and the show starts with Sophie sending the invitations to her three potential fathers.
That's not a phrase you expect to use every day, is it? So this is part of the intrigue of the story, isn't it, for those who don't know it? And it's part of the fun for those who do. And it's one of those shows where you're there for the story, but you're also there for the songs as well.
Absolutely, so
three potential fathers coming to a wedding, Greek island. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Thankfully, all the things that do go wrong are very nicely segued with the fantastic music of ABBA, so it doesn't always seem that bad.
And that's why this piece works so well, is the music and the book, they equally match each other. So not what like jukebox musicals nowadays, like you're going to see one and it's either the music is great and the book's not as good, where this works really well together.
And that's what stood the test of time. We're talking almost 20 years on the road, around and about, and audiences coming back time and time again for a massive show. But I say, the music of ABBA will make it work so well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these songs were released before you two guys were even born.
Yeah, they were.
And is it something that you've grown up with listening to as well through family? Yeah, telling me you've got to listen to these tunes?
Definitely, yeah. Your dad's a massive
fan. Yeah, my dad's a massive ABBA fan. I think that's, as I always say, if I could do one musical when I graduated college, if I could do one musical, I'd want it to be Mamma Mia, because he absolutely adores the music and he sits there and he has a great old time.
Yeah.
And it goes through the generations. It's not, this is what, with the show as well, it's not just, it doesn't hit just one generation, it's throughout all generations.
Definitely.
And that's what's great about this piece.
And I think there's lots of people who come and see the musical. Of course, the musical was first, but I think a lot of people come and see the musical who have seen the film, and a lot of people don't realise that the musical did come first, the stage version did come first. And I really like that about this show more than any other show. I think it brings a lot of people to the theatre that maybe haven't even been to a theatre before. So I think it's like, it's just so accessible across the board. There's so many things that make it accessible. And it's one of the things I really love about it, seeing the audiences that are all so different, so different.
And the age range of the cast mirrors the age range of the audience as well, because you've got a good spread here. You're two of the youngest, obviously. You are the young lovers in this story.
Yes.
But when it comes down to it, though, you've got the older performers, all of whom get fantastic songs to sing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of the characters are brilliant. There's a whole range. And I think, again, one of the things that audiences love about it is that you can see yourself, you sit and watch it and you can kind of pick out, you go, oh, that's a little bit like me, or, oh, that's a little bit like Sandra, you know. You can see people that you know, and I think that's, again,
it's funny, when they were writing this, they got the name for Harry from Our Last Summer, because the name
song,
of Harry
is
in the lyrics, so they took that a direct
picked it up, used what was there and made it into the massive show that it
not
is.
Changed much of the lyrics.
They haven't, no, none. I think there's like a few tiny lyric changes, but nothing kind of major. Like you get in a lot of jukebox musicals, there'll be kind of like massive changes to songs to make them fit, but with Mamma Mia, there isn't, which is, again, brilliant, so people can come and see it, and people who are maybe just fans of ABBA can come and can hear the songs that they know and they love that haven't been kind of changed or messed about with, which is,
And we are very much sat in Greece at the moment. Yes. We have the scenery around us. But, I mean, that's the feel-good factor of the show. The cold February air is going to be replaced by the summer sunshine on a Greek island somewhere, including what you guys will get to wear when you're doing this too.
Yeah,
so it must
absolutely.
Be quite strange wearing swimwear at this point in the winter.
Well, you have a wetsuit on all year round,
don't
you?
I wear is a wetsuit and swimsuit.
Yeah.
You get used
and
to it.
And little trunks.
Little trunks.
And, of course, there's our fake tan as well.
Yeah.
We're always fake tanned.
You look annoyingly healthy. And then this is all sprayed on. So
all sprayed.
It is, yeah.
A safe way to do it.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
And that must be weird going for the weekly painting, as it were.
Oh, I love it. I don't think I know what my normal skin colour is now.
No, I don't either. I know.
So it's one step up from wearing grease paint the whole time, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It impresses people when you're down the pub on any days off.
And you always look good in a photo.
Always look good in a photo.
Well, I'll carry on sitting here looking pasty. You have a great time performing on stage. Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, right the way through till the 24th of February. 01902 429212 is the box office number for tickets, or grandtheatre.co.uk to get them online. But do come along and see the magic of Mamma Mia on stage at Wolverhampton.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
More from Mamma Mia at the Grand very soon when I have a chat with Fiona Whitehouse shortly. However, let's take some music from the Kitchen Collective, having a chat with Gary Tranter in a moment or two's time. But first of all, let's have a listen to Roadkill.
There's a river that's flowing down from the high ground, a river that's flowing down. Well, it's cool and it's clean. Fresh in the year, a river that's flowing down. When I'm standing here watching feathers fly from roadkill as the cars go by, but then I thought for a while, why did you give me that smile? There's a warm breeze blowing, haze has been growing, clearing the dust from your eyes. Do you remember the weather? Together, days of destruction sighs. When I'm standing here watching feathers fly from roadkill as the cars go by, then I thought for a while, why did you give me that smile. Plastic eye and forgotten face. When left you standing watching decades die, a light fades on the chlorophyll sky. And I'm standing here watching feathers fly from roadkill as the cars go by, but then I thought for a while, what did you give me that smile? And I'm standing here watching feathers fly cars go by, then I thought for a while, what did you give me that smile?
Kitchen Collective are playing a gig supporting the New Hampton Arts Centre on the 3rd of March. To tell us more, Gary Tranter, hello.
Hello there, Jason. Good to be with you. We're very much looking forward to supporting, you know, such a wonderful venue for performances and music, such a jewel in the town centre. So on the 3rd of March, as you mentioned, ourselves, the Kitchen Collective, along with Rick Williams and the Sitting Room, we're doing a show together, and that's to raise money specifically for the New Hampton Arts Centre so that we can offer a little bit back to this incredible venue that we have.
Well, give us a little bit of background to the band to begin with, because you're actually a seven-piece, and I believe you're on guitar.
I'm the guitar player, yeah, the lead guitar player. So we have a seven piece setup: drums, bass, keyboards, guitar, and neon guitar, and two singers. So I could name them all if you need, but that's our setup. And with a strong emphasis on vocal harmonies. You know, that's really part of the colour of our sound, really, and a very eclectic mix of genres that we play in our songwriting as well.
Yeah, so it is songwriting that is what you're about. Do you do a few covers as well, just to tease people a little in your own style, or is it all mostly your own original work?
It's all original work, Jason. Having said that, there is one song that we do that is a cover, which again was, strangely enough, inspired by the New Hampton Arts Centre, because we had to play a cover of a Clash song for the Joe Strummer event last summer. So we kept that in the set. So we enjoy playing that one song at the moment. But the rest are all originals, yeah. So we hope people connect with those songs and enjoy them.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a good night, and I say all in a very, very good cause. Where do people find out more about your music?
They can go to our Facebook page. That's really the first port of call, really, Jason. So, Kitchen Collective Band, and you'll find us, and we list all our gigs on there, and any updates and photographs and things like that, and some recordings of us, you know, little phone recordings of us playing live, so you can get a feel. I appreciate, you know, when people come to see original music for the first time, they want to know what they're in for. So there's a little flavour on our Facebook page there of what we do, and we're often playing in and around the local area. We're a very local band, the New Hampton Arts Centre, the NAC, is the perfect venue. We fit on the stage there, so you can see us rather than sort of cramming in the corner of a small room somewhere. So we're delighted to be supporting the NAC and to be back at the place where we very first played our first gig. So,
and when was that? How long have you been together?
It seems like a lot longer than I'm about to say, but it was the summer of 2016. So we played at the NAC, I think it was on the 10th of May 2016. That was our very first show. So it'll be a lovely sort of return, you know, when we go back there. It's a significant place for us. We really enjoy the venue, and we hope that people can see that we've moved along a little bit from our first handful of songs that we could only play on that first gig. We've got a lot more to offer now.
but as a group, though, I mean, you've all got quite significant experience performing before the Kitchen Collective came together.
There's a mix of experience in the band, to be honest, Jason. Yeah, we have choir members that are used to performing through in a choir. People like myself that have played in bands before, a long time ago, and also some experienced people, you know, that are doing this really for the first time, which is really, for me, inspiring and fantastic to see, you know, people develop as musicians and as performers, and of course, you know, giving their input to our original music as well. So yeah, it's a very eclectic mix of people, backgrounds, songs, and I think that does express itself through our material as well. So yeah.
So as you say, this gig where it can be seen is at the New Hampton Arts Centre. That's entrance via Dunkley Street, and it is taking place on Saturday, the 3rd of March. Tickets are priced at £10. Doors are at 7:30. How do people get their hands on tickets?
You can go onto the New Hampton Arts Centre website and certainly buy tickets online there. As you say, they're £10, which hopefully that's great value for three acts that will be on that night, and in a great cause as well. Or probably just, you know, at the box office at the New Hampton Arts Centre itself. If you're, if there's anybody that's friends of any band members or any of the other acts, I'm sure that we might have a few to be able to provide as well. But largely, yeah, just directly at the New Hampton Arts Centre. And hopefully, yeah, we'll have a full house because it's for a great cause, and we'd love to see as many people there giving support to their local arts centre as possible. It would be wonderful.
Absolutely brilliant. Love the place myself. It's a fantastic venue, and I'm sure you'll be absolutely excellent on the night. For now, Gary Tranter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. All the best. Take care.
She lay new. nights caressed while the hands are getting older. Crying light seems to carry her away. Has she turned her head to him? I think I might go out to New York. I hear that downtown is so alive. I wanna bathe in electric moonlight that falls like rain on the Lower East Side. That falls like rain on the Lower East Side. Now she listens to soul music in Brooklyn. Daily life, she turned him to a comic book. A page a day, a chapter a week. No detail too small or insignificant. I see you on the sidewalks of New York, in the bars on Bleecker, 'cause the downtown's so alive. She gazes up at Midtown in electric moonlight that falls like rain on the Lower East Side. That falls like rain on the Lower East Side.
Soul music in Brooklyn from the Kitchen Collective here on the Milk Bar. Wombourne and District Choral Society are bringing Mozart's Requiem to life on Saturday the 24th of March. To tell us more, I'm joined now by Mike Coop. Hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm good. And I trust we find you rather excited about the forthcoming concert.
Yes, it's quite an exciting piece, actually. It's a little bit short, so we're going to add in a few more other pieces, which we're talking about at the moment. But it'll probably be making use of the orchestras there and probably doing a clarinet concerto or something like that.
Well, once you've got the orchestra all assembled, it's worth doing it and putting it together.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Your MD and Clark will be putting that together and working with the orchestra and the soloists as well. So it's going to be an absolutely massive night, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. We've got four very good soloists, I think all of them we've had before at other concerts, actually, so they're all excellent performers, so that'll add an extra touch to the concert, you know.
That should be good to see. Now, there's light refreshments available in the interval, and tickets are priced at £15. Children under 16 are free, it's going to be, say, a full night, but it's going to be mainly full classical works is the sort of thing that you do, isn't it? So it's going to keep that sort of theme.
We tend to have four concerts a year, two tend to be sort of this calibre, and then we have a summer concert, which is much lighter, and also we do a Christmas concert, of course, which again is carols and Christmas content, so it's a bit of a mixture, but yes, you're right, two of them are serious works with orchestras and professional singers.
And how many are in the choir these days? Because I think it was numbering almost 80, wasn't it?
We've had a lot of people, new members join recently, actually. Two or three basses, which was always very welcome, and a couple of altos as well, and also, I think, three sopranos as well. So I think they come to our concerts and see what sort of noise we make and want to be part of it, you know.
Well, that's all good to hear. And it's nice when these sort of things are growing, and you say you're always open to new members, so you'll be glad to hear from anybody who does want to get in touch.
It's very informal. There's no auditions or anything like that. It's just people like people to come along that love singing, basically.
Well, that's well worth doing. OneBourneChoralSociety.org.uk is the website. Now, the concert itself takes place at the Church of St John in the Square, and that's in Wolverhampton. Postcode WV24AT. It's at 7:30. And where can you get those tickets from?
You can either do it by going to our website, which is OneBourneChoralSociety.org, or you can ring the box office, which is 744447.
So you can do that, or you can actually get them on the door as well.
That's correct.
Well, as ever, good to speak to you, Mike, and we look forward to finding out more about what's going on in and around your world very soon.
Yes, thank you, Zap.
Let's take some more music from the Kitchen Collective. They are playing the New Hampton Arts Centre on the 3rd of March. This is recorded at that venue as a live take. It is Rivers of Light.
Through these rivers of light, she runs off into the night, with her ear pressed down to the smartest phone. Well, she let him down again. Oh, as she's turning down love. Record store. He orders up for two. Well, what else is he supposed to do? He's just spreading love, 'cause that's the Brooklyn way. And the love soaks the walls with its neon spray. Where yesterday's complications float away to the rivers of light. Tired of hell until the next show invites you and your solitude into misty avenues. Well, she leaves the lime washed coffee shots and the plane trees to the
and she's drowned alone without love, because she turned him down again. Well, she's drowned alone without love, because she turned him down, turned him down again. Every stroll to electric lips that she bought with her coat. Oh, when she merges with him, with her arms swinging over London Bridge as they float away to the rivers of light. Oh, when she merges with him, with her arms swinging over float away to the rivers of life. Oh, and she's drowned alone without love, because she turned him down again. Well, she's drowned alone without love, because she turned him down,
turned him down.
And she's drowned alone without love, because she turned him down.
Rivers of Light from the Kitchen Collective. With Valentine's Day tomorrow, we all need to be thinking about our appearance. And for fellas, this means we've got to decide whether we're going for the hipster beard or it's going to be completely smooth, clean-shaven. Look, to tell us more about what the ladies are liking at the moment, we've got Joe Hemmings, behavioural psychologist. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
So what should I be doing? Should I be shaving or should I be keeping a bit of stubble going down here?
No, you need to be shaving. So Bic Shave Club surveyed 2,000 British women to reveal their preferences, and 44% of women reveal that they prefer a cleanly shaven man over one with a stubble or beard. Although in the West Midlands, you might have a little bit more luck, because only 30% of women prefer a clean shaven man. But generally speaking, we like our men to have smooth skin.
And but the survey sort of said that it's because it helps with the kissing bit, is it?
Well, it makes the kissing feel nicer, yeah. So I think when women put, you know, a lot of sometimes quite expensive products on their skin to make their skin look beautiful and glow, I guess the last thing we really want is that sort of nasty red, it's almost like a kind of rash you get when you're kissing a man who's got a bit of facial hair.
Yeah, stubble burn isn't particularly an attractive
stubble
look, is
burn.
It?
Stubble burn, that's a good sort of way of putting it, indeed. That's even worse, yeah.
So David Beckham was voted as having the most attractive facial hair, though, when it did get looked at. And his looks changed that often. It's difficult keeping track of what he looks like, isn't it, I'd have thought?
Yeah, his look is always changing. But, I mean, he does look nice with it, because he's obviously, he's shaven it into a nice shape, and he hasn't got all, you know, bits of tufts and nasty bits. However, I still think David Beckham, along with anybody else, all those other male celebrities that like to sprout a beard, they look better clean-shaven. They look younger clean-shaven, and I think more attractive.
See, I definitely do look about 10 years younger than... If the stubble to go for 3 weeks, I'm well past my actual years, and I look quite old anyway, so I'm struggling a bit, to be fair.
So, what is the appeal? appeal for men to grow a beard? Tell me. It's like a look older, and it sometimes comes out a funny colour that doesn't match their head.
Yeah, I've got no hair on my head, and I've got grey bits in the beard, so that's not a good move. But no, I think for me, I end up with about 2 to 3 days of stubble because I've got such delicate skin. Shaving every day causes me all sorts of havoc. I need to look out for the right Bic razor, clearly, as I think that will probably fix the job. But
you do. So Bic Shave Club actually have this system where you could subscribe and you get their best quality shaver. And that should do the trick. It's no excuse not finding a good razor to do it with.
Well, I'm delicate, that's the way it goes. But now, the other bit of the survey, like, it's women kissing men who are turned on by facial hair, that 50% of women in Dudley liked being kissed by a man with a beard.
Yes, they do. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, we're kind of getting half and half here, really. And anyway, a quarter in your area is saying a clean-shaven face would help make the best Valentine's Day kiss. But I think the point is, it isn't so much no facial hair. It's kind of well-kept facial hair, soft, beard-oiled-up facial hair, if you're going to have a beard. It's that sort of rough, unkempt, not cared for, stubbly stuff that makes us very uncomfortable when we do kiss.
Look like you've tried. I think that's what you're saying here.
Well, yeah, it's also important. Things like aftershave, good breath, you know, those kind of things. That sort of really clean-smelling facial area that you want to kiss rather than one that looks like it might have a bit of yesterday's breakfast lurking in it.
Basically, keep yourself comfortable, keep yourself clean, make sure you've got minty fresh breath, and before you know it, you will be aware with the ladies.
Indeed, you'll be kissing before you know it, exactly.
Absolutely. So this Bic Shave Club thing then that is helping people out, how do people find out more and get some of the best tips for Valentine's Day?
It's to the website, BicShaveClub.com, where there's a special offer on at the moment of just £2 to get your first Bic Shaver razor, so yeah, go for it.
Okay, I think I need to, by the sounds of things.
Yes, go on, you should be the first one signing up.
I'll definitely do as I'm told. And so nip along there, find out. But you give me your top tips on exactly what the fellas should be doing. If they're looking for love, they may be heading out on Valentine's night to try and spot the singles bar that's going to have someone who they're going to fall in love with in. What would you tell them to go out there and do?
Well, I mean, go out there and be yourself, try and relax. Buy a lady a drink, actually. Sometimes men will go and they'll just start chatting somebody up and they're getting on okay and then they'll offer them a drink. So, you know, make yourself look good, clean, smell nice. If bars aren't full of single people, tomorrow evening they're never going to be full of single people. No. So go out there and enjoy.
Yeah, make the most of it. And then fingers crossed for next year, you'll be the one exchanging cards, flowers and all the fun, expensive stuff that goes along with Valentine's Day.
Yes, of course.
That's fantastic. It all sounds like really good fun, and it's a good, fun tongue-in-cheek survey. Absolutely brilliant stuff from Bic for finding that out. So, Joe Hemmings, behavioural psychologist, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.
One final tune from the Kitchen Collective now. This is Still Life.
Rebel song, won the rebel music. Rebel song.
Place called No Compassion salutes the unknown leader, shoulders the burden of your life, shoulders the burden of your life.
Fear is a bullet from a gun with a silencer, kills with indiscretion, kills what's inside of us, kills what's inside of us.
Rebel souls, on the rebel music. The music. your solution, but he is not your problem, no. He is not your problem, no.
Place your arms around me, tell me that I'm needed, 'cause I just want you near me. All I do is push you away. All I do is push you away.
Still live from the Kitchen Collective.
Mamma Mia is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre till the 24th of February. Head of wardrobe is Fiona Whitehouse, who joins me now. Hello.
Hello.
And we're kind of in your grotto backstage.
Yes, we're in the Dynamo's quick change area.
And this is vitally important on a show like this because you've got a lot of cast, a lot of outfits, yeah, and not much time to swap around.
Oh, yes. We have a lot of swapping around when some of the cast go off.
So, but first of all, like, you're no stranger to the Grand Theatre because your career started back here in, what, 1999, was it?
Yeah, I think it was September 1999, and I worked on Dr. Doolittle as a dresser with Philip Schofield.
Aha. So many a star has passed through your wardrobe department.
Yes.
And on that time, you've then headed out on tour with Mamma Mia. And you've been working in wardrobe the same time as Mamma Mia has basically been out there as a stage show.
Yeah, which is crazy, isn't it?
It's absolutely mad, but equally jolly good fun. And you've done so much stuff along the way. What have been some of your favourite moments before Mamma Mia?
So I went on tour with Lords of the Dance. That was brilliant because we went international. It was like Germany and Dublin and Switzerland, and that was amazing. And Michael Flatley was actually in it as well. Mm-hmm. I've done Evita, and I've done Joseph, and I've done a couple of other shows. I can't quite remember now.
There's so many, it's difficult to put names to them all.
And obviously all the shows I've dressed in Wolverhampton as well, there is so many, I can't remember them. Do you know what I mean? Because I've done so much.
But does this mean there's been a favourite or most troublesome costume along the way? Is there something, the yin and yang of the world of wardrobe?
There's always one of those on every show, yeah. Every show. Because we have to, like, obviously clean them, fix them, and then if they keep breaking, it's like you have to keep fixing them unless you like phone up and say, I can't fix this anymore, I need a new one, they send you one.
And does it tend to be that there are a set number of costumes for each person? Or do they have two or three ones away in the wash? Does it work like that? Or is it normally a mad panic wash and dry the same day?
So most of the boys have double shirts, so they've all got double underwear. So every single show, they've still got clean clothes. But they do have the one set of costumes which have to go to dry cleaning. And obviously we wash them, but we can only do it so often.
And how does the magic work? Because there's a lot of magic and there's a lot of sticking things back together if something goes a little bit awry during a show sometimes.
Well, yeah, we've had split bottoms and we've had show stops because of it. So we've just had to get them off and give them a spare set. And hopefully there's a spare set near you as well.
And maybe a little bit more relaxed, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. I remember on Joseph as well, the Pharaoh, his trousers split, he had come running off and I had to safety pin him and push him back on. So it's live, isn't it? So
And you're literally on hand throughout the whole show?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, what's the best moment you've ever had on stage?
I've had lots of best moments. Mm-hmm. I haven't got a favourite, really. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe a favourite costume then somewhere?
My favourite costumes are the Super Troopers. These are absolutely brilliant and they look so sparkly on stage.
Because we're setting a time, aren't we, here? Because we know we're in the 90s.
Yeah, yes,
and
we're
listening to the music from the 70s. So there's a bit of a crossover. I think that outfit does it all, doesn't it, really?
This is amazing costume. But these stars are so dangerous.
Yeah.
They really hurt your fingers.
I suppose that is one of the problems, and you can't bleed on the costume. That's not allowed.
And I've done that before, and it's like, no, I need, oh no, I've got blood on you.
Yeah, and there's sponging going on and all sorts.
Yeah, wash it off quick.
With the this sort of show though, and the sort of magic that you see on stage, do you ever get a chance to sit back in the auditorium sometimes and let somebody else take over so you can see how it all looks and know how it works?
Yeah, sometimes I get to have a show watch just so I can have a look at all the costumes while they're on stage, seeing if they all look good, see if the cast have got them on properly as well.
And do you tell them off?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Like a teacher, but yeah, so I get to watch over it quite a lot, really.
And does that add to the magic when you go and see another production? So say you were off to see a pantomime or something, if you've got a few downtime weeks.
I'm terrible now.
Yeah, you're picking faults.
I'm like, no, I don't pick faults. I do pick faults, but then I always as soon as some casts go off, I'm like, they're getting changed, and then they come back on, I'm like, oh, well done. Or if they come on and their hat's a bit squiff or the belt's not done up, I'm like, oh, that wasn't very good.
Nah. Tips on a postcard on how to fix it, maybe.
Or just dress, you know what I mean? It's doing those quick changes in the side of the wings, which we've got like three of those at the end of this show. And all our dressers that are from the local theatre, they're all on one dynamo each. So there's like three dressers on each woman, do you know what I mean? So, and they're all directed in a way to dress that person to get them on stage quick.
So that's something I think probably people don't appreciate as much as they should. Yeah. The wardrobe is what makes the show as much as the talent of the actors. Everything is there in equal measure.
And the lighting and the sound.
Yeah, and it's all of that brings the whole experience.
Yeah.
It must be great being part of that in theatre, and it's so enjoyable doing it as a career.
It is. It's like we're one big family, like, do you know what I mean? We all have to work together really hard, and then that's what happens on stage, do you know what I mean? It's brilliant.
Comes together, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that you're going to wow the audiences, particularly with your dynamos over here. That is amazing.
It's
going to be brilliant. On stage at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre through to the 24th of February, 01902 429212 is the box office number, or grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. But Fiona Whitehouse, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and
it's been great sitting back here. Can I try that one on?
Why not?
And that's your lot from the Milk Bar this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back next week with episode 452. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.